Welcome to 45 on the Hour podcast. I'm your host, Colt 45, and we're here with the Darce Knight, the ninja. He's here. What up, bro?
What's up, Colt? Hello. Hello, good, everybody.
Podcast number
8, 9?
We're way past that.
100?
Like 11. We're looking over here at Rob. I'm not sure. Guys, today we have an awesome guest. A guy that I truly admire. I mean, this guy, he's got the most genuine attitude I've ever met in person. He's just constantly happy, positive, just a good all-around guy. He's got two kids. He's a family man. He's a religious man. And one of my really good friends.
Right on.
Welcome to the podcast. His name is Mr. Sean Jones.
Thank you so much, Colt. It is an honor, honor and privilege.
What's up, brother?
Thank you for that introduction. That's awesome.
Good, brother. Good,
now,
man.
Now the intro's out of the way. What's up, Sean?
There you go.
Guys, we brought Sean on because Sean's got a lot of good attributes that I wanted to bring on the podcast. He's just an all around, like, just good family man. Like, when I look at, like, people these days and I think of, like, okay, what is a good father? What is a good man? Like, what is a guy that's just trying to make it in this world, but he promotes like the best version of himself, you know? And I think of Sean, I really do. And Sean's always been a good friend of mine. We've always talked. I'll tell you, you can do a little intro on what you do and kind of like your life. And I kind of just want to hear, just give everybody a little intro on like yourself and like your little, like a little background history of yourself.
Okay. A little background history about myself. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I did grow up in CME and I have listened to most of your podcasts up till this point. And like I mentioned to you before we got on, you know, your vulnerability and everything that you do on this podcast, I kind of grew up a little bit differently. You know, I have parents that love each other and I have a happy family. And but it wasn't until really I got introduced to wrestling and I got into high school and I actually had a Marine as a coach who was like both of you guys, Marines as well. And that really changed my life. And it really changed my perspective on things to really push myself, like you talked about in the last podcast, push myself to my limits and just really grow as a person. And I think that's just so important. There's a lot of times, you know, I've done this kind of multiple times in my life where I've just kind of sat down and I've written down, you know, what's most important in my life right now. And, you know, for me, it's always been family since the beginning. I've always had a really close relationship with my family. My Nana, who has passed away now about 10 years or 12 years ago, but she was always the rock of our family. So like she set the foundation for everything. It's like, if my parents don't know, Nana knows, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
So I've always had that. That's always been my number one since I've been young. And then I always knew I wanted to have kids, you know, as I got older. So yeah, that really set the foundation for the type of person that I feel like I've become. And like I said, so setting that goal list and that number one,
so being, you had like family, a good like upbringing for the most part.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Right. Like you had good parents. Your parents were married.
Yeah.
Yep. Right.
Parents are happily married. Yeah.
Were they into religion? Jobs. Were they like, did they take you to church?
Yeah, like, I was raised Catholic, but I wasn't really, you know, I was confirmed. I went through all that stuff, confirmation and communion and all that stuff, but they weren't really consistent with religion. But yeah, I am, you know, thank God. I've always had Jesus in my life and I've always had that impact in my life. It's not even really till probably the last 2-3 years or so where I've really dug into my religion.
Yeah.
And I can get into that if you want and how it's affected my family and how, you know, getting married was kind of my first step of really exploring that. And then having kids was kind of the second step for me of really digging into religion. But yeah, so family being number one and always just like if you were to write down, you know, what's most important in your life right now, you know, you write down my wife, my kids, and then my career or whatever you want to write down, right? And then you kind of think in your head, like, how much time am I committing to these things? And where is my time focus? You know what I mean? What did I do today to be a better husband to my wife? You know, what did I do today to be a better father to my kids? You know, and when you really look at it that way, you know, we commit so much time to so many different things. Like you were saying earlier about, you know, today's society and like social media, and there's things that you could just sit there and scroll and you're like learning about what's going on with the president or learning about what's going on with, you know, anything other than your most important things in your life. So I feel like that's been huge for me and really becoming the, you know, the man that I am today.
Nice. I like that. And so for a living, what do you do for a living?
Oh, yeah.
I just want to know. I want everyone to know your background.
So this is actually cool because, and I think this is how you and me connected so well. I got a degree from UC Santa Barbara. And when I graduated, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And the moving company that I had previously worked for needed a salesperson. And I'm like, okay, sales sounds cool for now. So I did sales for Meathead Movers for 5 years. And I grew with the company. I did really well. I was to the point where, you know, I was managing a whole territory, growing basically the company in LA, and basically had my calendar set every day for me on the line, online, you know, or, you know, through the call center. And I would go to my appointments. I was pretty much on cruise control. Like I had a good career for, you know, 5 years postgraduate. But I really wanted to do more. And I would always ask successful people what they did for a living. This is a funny story. You know, lawyers, doctors, mm-hmm.
What do you mean, like, when you say ask them, like, did you like record it? Or
no.
Did you just like, you're just like walking around?
So wherever. I was, you know, like your sales position, your sales manager.
Right.
I would go to my appointments and I'd walk into this multi-million dollar house. I'd be like, oh, what do you guys do for a living?
Oh, nice.
You
know,
it was
nice.
Making conversation for the sale, of course.
gathering knowledge from the client.
Yeah, exactly. But I was always interested, and it's lawyers were miserable. I was really planning on becoming a lawyer. That was like my main goal through college.
Right.
And every lawyer I met was miserable. There was one that was a corporate lawyer for Disney. He was the only happy one. And he's like, I love being a lawyer. But everyone else was like, don't become a lawyer. Doctors were just...
Why do you think they're miserable?
Oh, the stress of the job and just 24/7. And you're always dealing
with... All that negative stuff.
Yeah, you're probably dealing with negativity all day. Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on what type of lawyer.
That'll definitely affect you if it's your job to like defend somebody.
Your job is to fix people's problems.
Yeah. You inherit them too. You put them on top of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they're innocent or guilty. If they're guilty, you still have to defend. Like it's your job. Cause I have some friends that are lawyers and they're like, I was like, so even if you like know they're guilty, like my job is to win the case. That's it. You know? So even if they're guilty, you're trying your best to prove them innocent.
Keep them out of hot water.
You know? Yeah. So I found out that seemed like the most successful and happy people were realtors every time I'd meet a realtor. And it was always kind of the same thing because everyone tells me, you know, the market's so saturated with realtors. So many people have their real estate license. And one realtor told me, he's like, yeah, you know, I've heard that story, but tell me a market that's not saturated. You know, so many market lawyers. You think there's not a lot of lawyers? You think there's not a lot of doctors? You think there's not a lot of movers, right? Every market is saturated. It's just how you're going to approach it and how you're going to work to grow your business, you know? So I've now had a successful real estate business where it's crazy to say coming on 9 years.
Wow.
I'm one of the, what you'd say, top producing realtors now in Simi Valley.
Nice.
I have a team of 3 agents that work with me and continuing to grow even in the stale market. I'm very blessed. So
nice, man. Right. That's good to hear. Do you, obviously you like what you do, right?
Yep.
How does that help you in your day to day with your family? Because obviously being a realtor, you have a lot of flexibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of call the shots on your timeline and what you're doing through the day. So do you have a schedule? Like, run me through an average Sean Jones day. I want to know. Because obviously you have some sort of a balance because I watch you and everyone watches us on social media, right?
Yeah.
What we're doing. It's obviously, you know, like no one just preloads content. Like most of the stuff is as it's happening, right?
Yeah.
For the most part.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you do? Like what's a typical day for you?
Yeah. I mean, man, I could tell you, I almost don't have a schedule. I did recently complete 75 Hard. I think you said you've done 75 Hard before, have you?
No, I've never actually done it.
No.
But I do.
What's 75 Hard?
So it's 2 workouts a day. One workout has to be outside. They're both 45-minute workouts. A gallon of water a day. Read 10 pages of nonfiction, so a self-improvement book. Has to be reading. You can't do audiobook. No alcohol. Follow a diet. And no cheat meals. And take a progress picture every day.
That's nice.
For 75 days straight. So I just completed that. Now it's been about a month ago. I lost 20 pounds doing it.
Dang.
And it did provide a lot of structure to my day because when you're adding so much stuff into one day, like I have to, you know, I have to prioritize things and I have to make sure, you know, and I mean, I was going on walks at like 10 at night sometimes.
Just to get the second workout in.
Just to get the second workout in, you know. So, but yeah, honestly, my calendar, and maybe I should do a better job of organizing my calendar, but it is just kind of day by day. I mean, I could be doing showings one day, doing inspections another day. I'm out knocking on doors to try to get more business. I'm doing a social media post or creating content of some kind. a lot of stuff on the phone where I'm, you know, with clients, just explaining things to them, or a client's upset about something that they, you know, within the transaction. So,
because nothing's perfect.
Yeah, nothing's perfect.
And we see that on both sides.
I learned a lot of that in the moving industry. You know, the moving industry is,
it's all about having expectations in the beginning, right?
Yep.
It's always about saying, hey, this is it. And I've always learned to give people the bad first.
Yeah.
I always give everybody the bad first. Some people are like, wait a minute, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to unsell me here? And I'm like, nope. I want you to know everything.
Yeah.
And I want you to know the worst of the worst first, because I can provide you great all day. But when the bad happens, I want you to know what I'm going to do about it if it happens. So I always hit them with the bad. And then I say, okay, well, this is what happens if this happens.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? So what I always do is in moving, we have this, it's a constant issue where people always have more stuff. They got more stuff. They add stuff in during the move. They think I'm not going to find out about it. And they're like, oh yeah, that armoire, it's not going. My grandma's mom's going to take it and she's going to come with her wheelchair and she's going to pick it up and get it out of here. Doesn't happen. All right. It just, you know, from the moving industry, people add stuff.
It feels good to hear you say that, because all the pains that I had in the industry, you know, it's like, it's not specific to me. And that's what I was saying earlier, you know, about like when I get to meet, or, well, I know Eric, obviously, but when you talk to black belts in jujitsu or whatever it is that you're in and you hear they have the same problems, you know, nobody's like special. Like no one has this like thing that they're on another island that they know and no one else knows kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Life's a mirror, not a window, right?
Exactly.
It's the same. It's just felt differently, but it's all the same feeling, you know?
Yep. So yeah, all those struggles that you're talking about, I went through all that.
And getting into it, like, it sounds like you have expectations, right? Mm-hmm. Of things that you want in yourself, right? Yep. So I always have expectations for myself. I just don't have it for other people, right? I've learned that the hard way. So when you start expecting things, you start expecting them to happen, and then you end up letting yourself down. You know what I'm saying?
Expecting is like almost being anxious or living in the future.
Correct. And
it's never going to be how you want it. It's always going to be slightly different, you know?
Because if you're always expecting something and you're like, oh, I'm going to go into every move and knowing that these are the problems that always happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to forget about them. And I'm just going to go into every move like everyone's perfect. And everything that they say that's going to go is going to go. And I'm going to give them one price and they're going to hold me to that. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Bible, they're going to say, you know what? This is God right here. He said it's going to be $1,500. I'm going to hold them to $1,500. Guess what? Move day comes. Our guys get out there. They say there's more stuff. Customer says, okay, how much is it? It's $2,200 now, because it's going to take an extra 3 or 4 hours worth of work plus overtime or whatever the case may be, plus material. And then now it's a new job. And then they end up, you know, getting into that. And then the customer's upset. They call us and then they call me. And they're like, hey, you promised me $1,500. I'm like, well, what changed? Oh, I see the inventory. It went up almost half. You know, what happened? What happened to the garage, you know? Yes. And I always try to be funny about it, but typically that happens, but it doesn't happen as much. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I always tell them the bad first. I walk into every house going, okay, great. Are you sure this is all that's going? Okay. Well, if that does go, it's going to be different. It's going to be a different price. I want you to know that. Are you okay with that? Mm-hmm. And I look people in the eyes. I make sure they understand what I'm saying. And they always go, yeah, no, it's fine. I'm going to be here on the move. Or my wife's going to be, okay, are you going to communicate that to your wife? Okay, I want to make sure. I don't want any problems. I want to make sure you understand. Okay.
Colt, would you say that like in I don't know if in your business, but like that has to do with like being honest. You're upfront first.
Yeah.
You let them know the full.
I'd rather be 100% honest and lose the customer than to, I wouldn't say lie, but just mention it.
Leave something out. And then all of a sudden,
and then I lose that customer and the referral source.
100%.
Right. So Sean is a real estate agent, so he could refer business if he thinks that we do a good job. Now, if he hears the same story over and over again, like, oh, Cole, yeah, he came to my house and the price is different. And it was every single time.
The reputation.
Eventually, he's going to call me. He's going to be like, bro, what's going on?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You know, these customers are upset. You got to fix it. But that doesn't happen because I always tell them up front and I make sure that they understand. You know, because I'm getting referred by somebody. And if I'm getting referred by somebody, that's their reputation on the line as well. So I need to protect both reputations. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
So being upfront is the most important thing. And that's just in all aspects of life.
Yeah.
You know, in relationships, because relationships are relational, right? Not contractual. So you have to be upfront with people about your expectations of things. Like, hey, this is what I expect from myself. Okay. You know, this is what I like. This is who I am. You know, this is who you're going to get to know. And you have to make sure that they understand that and everything. Even if it's just getting your car fixed, you know? You're going to ask, you know, what are you going to do to it? Oh, you're going to do these things. What's the price going to be? Well, if that price is different, people get upset.
Yep.
You know, because you're taking from their hard-earned time and money that they earned, you know? So yeah. We got to be, our communication has to be on point.
Yeah, setting expectations, really. And like you're saying, assuming, right? And I think that really does dig back to like our own ego, our own kind of pride is like, oh, well, that person should have known that. And especially when you do it so much, like I've gone through the contract so many times and just in the moving industry, right? Like you're saying, how many times has this happened to you? So in your head, you're like, they should know this by now. But everybody's move is like, people don't move more than once or twice in their life usually, right? It's only...
Yeah, it's a handful of times.
Or 4 to 5 times.
I think it's every few years is the average. Yeah, yeah. I think it's like every 2 to 3 years is the average person.
And just like selling your home, like you're not going to remember everything from when, even if you did sell a home before 5 years ago, right?
Right.
You know,
but you know what assuming is? You know what the acronym stands for?
Yep.
Making an ass out of you and me.
Yep. Oh yeah.
That was like an old acronym thing. But yeah. And I get back to it and like to your schedule and stuff and like balancing. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's like what I think is the most important. You have, like you said, your schedule doesn't really, you don't really have a schedule. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel the same way too, but I feel like I have some sort of like level of balance. Yeah. So I think of things like this, like I might not have my schedule on point. Like if I opened up my schedule, which you'll be able to see this on YouTube, like I have things listed, right? Yeah. That I'm supposed to accomplish for the day. And some days are more busier than others, as you can see.
Yeah.
And so there's things that I have on there that I'm trying to accomplish, but not necessarily get to. Like there's tasks that I want to accomplish and I'm shooting for those tasks. But when they get done, it doesn't really matter as long as they get done. That's my goal, right? And I also split my day personally, and I don't know if you do the same thing, but I try to split my day up to my non-negotiables, right? So my important one is the gym, right? Yep. Physicality. So that's my number one. And I always do that in the morning to get it out of the way. The next is work, right? And that's my work life. And that usually runs between like 10 and like 6, 10 and 5. And then I usually cut that off and I try to get home with my girls for dinner. And then it's family life after that. Yeah. And then after that, it's me. So it's split up into 4 different days for one day. So I try to split my day up and I think of it as 4 different days. And you can do this if you do like a, 6 to 10 and then like a 10 to 2 and then like a 2 to 6 and then like a 6 to 8. And that's how you, or I'm sorry, 6 to 10. So that's how you split it up. And if you do that, I learned that from Ed Mylett. He actually divides his day like
that. I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, and it actually works out a lot better. And then that way, you have to know in your head, like it doesn't have to be perfect, but usually within an hour plus or minus, I try to end those tasks. So if work ends at 5 or 6, and then I'm going straight to my family, you know, it's going to be plus or minus an hour. And some days are shorter with my kids than others, but I always try to go home, spend a moment with them, do dinner, take them somewhere. And then it's me time after that from usually like 10 and then pass. It's just my alone time. I try to just get my own personal time. And for you, it might be you and your wife, you know, at that point, you know, and it's different for everybody, but I think that's important to know for guys like us, you know, that try to have the proper balance. And I'm not perfect, you know, I slide off and sometimes I'll invest more time into the business and it'll be all day. And yeah, you got that 10%. I call it the 10% marker, right? Sometimes things need more attention. So my daughter was having a lot of problems over the last 6 months with herself. And I was focusing on like how to help her, right? Because my daughter has a really bad anxiety and she's just been out of place. So for me, I was always trying to figure out, okay, what's more important right now? Well, at the time it was her, right? And my kids are always my number one priority, but if everything's going well with the kids and they're doing great, then I'm going to start focusing more on business, growing. And if that's not going okay and I'm, you know, neglected and I need more self-help or I need to, you know, hold myself more accountable, then I focus on myself. And if it's, you know, whatever it is, you got to focus on that a little bit more plus or minus. That's why I call it the 10%.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how I do it. I don't know if you find yourself in similar aspects like throughout your day, you know, like I've seen you at the gym. Sometimes it's in the middle of the day.
Yep.
You know, because you got to go list a house, you got to go see an agent or...
Well, I can tell you, using the calendar and time blocking my time is life changing. Like, I highly recommend anyone who's struggling with that, definitely use the calendar, especially with my wife now too, because we did a shared calendar. We only did this like a year or two ago and that's changing. Now she can see, you know, she's like, you didn't tell me you had this appointment.
Dude, that's important. I want you to talk more about that. So you do a calendar with your spouse?
Yes. Yeah.
So basically it was like, honey, what are you going to do? Oh, babe, I can't. I got that. So it gets frustrated. She gets frustrated. Mm-hmm. But then you were like, hey, babe, why don't you just look at my calendar? This is my calendar for the day, right?
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, honey, I see here that you have time after 7 o'clock to take me out to dinner.
And that's always the funny story, right? You quit your 9 to 5 so you can work 24/7. You know, that's, it's so true, that statement. It's like getting into this business and becoming, you know, a business owner in my sense, you know, I feel like sometimes life is like The Sims, you know, like you have to go to the bathroom. So your bar is like emptying and now you really have to go to the bathroom. Or now you need to work out. You're getting weaker, weaker. You're getting hungrier. All your bars, you're just constantly trying to
fill. Your money's going down.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So you're constantly trying to fill all these bars.
Your house is a mess. All of it. Yeah.
And you're constantly trying to fill these bars. And I mean, God bless me with an amazing woman. My wife is amazing. And she's really the one that will call it, hey, Sean, you know, we haven't done a date night in a while. We need to do a date night. Or we just need some time to ourselves.
Your wife's from Brazil, right?
Yeah, she's Brazilian. Yeah, that's a whole other story. We met while traveling through Europe.
What's her name?
Nayada.
Nayada. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
you met traveling. You met her in a different country.
In Italy, Florence, Italy.
So she was out there and you just ran into each other?
Yeah, I was traveling.
What?
It's actually when I quit my job at the moving company and I went to start, you know, start my real estate business. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take a trip. I took a month and a half off, traveled just... me and one buddy, and we didn't have a plan. We flew into Barcelona and just kind of went wherever we wanted to go. And we ended up getting to Florence and I saw this ridiculously beautiful woman. And and then now we're however long later, 8 years later, we're
so you saw her
two kids.
And then you were like, hey, how you doing? And then it was like, then you guys hung out, obviously.
Yeah.
Liked each other. And she kind of, did she follow you around the rest of your tour? Or did you guys just see and then like link up later? Because she lived in Brazil, right?
Yeah. So we were only one day in Florence. And then we were leaving the next day. She was staying. We went to Rome. So we got like one night to spend together in Florence. And then she came to Rome. And then we got like one night to spend together in Rome. So they didn't even get a full 24 hours like physically together. And then we just pretty much since then, we did not go a day without talking. Like we just connected. And then she actually took the leap. She's like, I'm going to book a ticket and come visit you.
Wow.
So she took the leap, booked a ticket, came to visit me. And this is a little vulnerable for me, but I had just moved back in with my parents.
I was about to say, are you in Simi right now?
I was living in Burbank and I had just moved back in with my parents, quitting my job and then starting my real estate career.
I've done that a few times.
So, yeah. So she comes and stays for like, I think it was like a week and a half or 2 weeks. At my parents' house with my parents. So it's like full on submersion, so to speak, you know,
like, yeah,
it's like everything.
And trial by fire for her too. Now she gets to meet the parents and everybody.
The whole family was just like there all day, every day. And she's like totally integrated. So it's like,
and she was cool with it.
Yeah. She loved it. My family loved her. Like she connected really well. And I will tell you, my little sister, I've always had a good connection with my little sister on when it comes to like dating girls. And I've always asked her like, hey, what do you think? What do you think? And she actually said at my wedding, she gave a speech. She's like, I would always like have a reason why, this isn't the one, Sean, this isn't the one. She's like, but after she left, I was like, Sean, this is the one for you. Like,
wow.
I think you're going to marry her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know.
Cool. I need to do some traveling.
But that is very cool. Like you guys probably both met each other at the best time, you know, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it was God's timing, man. Like that's what I say is like,
don't look for it.
I don't believe in luck or chance anymore. I believe I was meant to meet her at that time. And I was not looking for it at all.
Were you, how were you at that time when you were meeting? Like, were you looking for it?
So I'll share a little bit more. I had just got out of a 5-year relationship. I was living with her.
You were living with your partner,
my before her. Previous girlfriend. Yeah, I was living with her. Well, we were together for 5 years. We had lived together for almost a year at that point when we broke up. And so that's why I moved back from Burbank back to Simi in with my parents.
Wow.
So I was traveling, not looking for a girlfriend. I was like, I'm going to have fun and I'm going to get back, focus on my business because I'm, you know, starting from zero on a business that I, you know, really hardly know anything about. You know, it is pretty crazy how well moving sales translated to real estate, you know, walking through people's houses and then, you know, sitting down and talking big numbers at the end. You know, it's basically a listing presentation. So it was really good prep for me. But yeah, that was my plan. My plan was to go have fun, come back and start my real estate and stay focused on my business, you know, focus on myself because I had just gotten out of a long relationship, just quit my job, like didn't know where my money was going to be coming from, you know. So
you weren't looking for it.
Wasn't looking for it.
And that's what they say. They say that you find your partner when you're not looking for it.
Yep.
Remember that, guys. Because that's like a common thing that I keep hearing. And when you're constantly looking for it, it's almost like the energy attracts. It's like when you're looking for it, it's not going to find you. It's going to keep hiding from you. And then as soon as you start backing off, it's like everything starts attracting itself to you. Right. And I don't know if it's because you're working on yourself or.
I think that's the thing. Sorry, yeah. I mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. You're good, brother. And I've heard that from a lot of good friends of mine that have like amazing wives. Like I have a friend named Mike. Amazing wife.
I can say nurse. That's the truth for me too, that it came when I wasn't looking for it, but when I was on the path of bettering myself, going all in on myself, you know, leveling mm-hmm. myself up, you know,
because becoming
a man worth attracting, you know?
Correct.
Well, the good women are going to see that. You know, see what type of guy that you are. Wow, he's really focused on himself. He takes care of himself. He's successful in his business. He's just a good person. He cares about people. He's focused on religion. He's focused on his church. You know, positive things that they're seeing you do. And then you're going to attract that girl that you want, as opposed to you're going after that nonstop and you're probably not going to attract the girl that you want. You know, I mean, your energy's shifted, you know.
They say that chasing is not... It's not fulfillment, like chasing, you know, like a lot of guys are out there and they're like chasing mm-hmm. things, like chasing women, chasing, you know what I'm saying? A lot of those things are fulfilled when you're not looking for it and you're not chasing it. It's mm-hmm. just getting attracted to you.
Yep.
I can't think of the guy's name, but he talks a lot about it. He talks about, you know, how to be a man and like what it takes to be an actual man. And a lot of the stuff that he talks about has to do with not looking for it, mm-hmm. focusing on yourself. Just literally just focusing on who you are, building your character up, making yourself as physically obtainable to somebody so that you fit the mold, you're attracted to yourself, you feel good about yourself inside your own skin. And then that energy and that aura presents confidence. And then that confidence goes out there and then it attracts the partner that's meant for you.
Yep.
Right? And then knowing your non-negotiables is important. Mm-hmm. I've said this on the podcast before. Your non-negotiables is one of those things that you have to have down. You have to know your character, your true character, your true self. You got to know who you are, right? And it doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to know a really good idea of what you're about, your goals, so that you can find that partner. And that way the connection's solid from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you find someone that, you know, doesn't like the outdoors and, you know, you're into the outdoors,
yep.
you know, you're going to mesh a little bit. And I think the 10% zone is what I always go to. It's okay, plus or minus 10%. My lady likes to sleep a little bit, which I don't have one. But if she did, that would be okay with me as long as it's not all day. You know, like there's a little
I get you.
Give and go on things, you know.
I also like there's a time where like, okay, like you do you, but I still have to stick to my non-negotiables.
Correct.
I'm not going to spend too much time trying to help you out here or you know, you got to come with me now.
Right, because you have that proper alignment.
Yes, sir.
And if you go off your non-negotiables, then you're not in a state of conscious congruency, which we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in a state of conscious congruency, then you're going to start having anxiety and despair. And you're going to start, you know, thinking about things. Because if you're out of alignment and you're not following what your conscience is, and I believe that your conscience is a voice from God, personally. I believe that it's constantly telling you what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And as long as you just listen to it, guys.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If it's telling you you're doing something wrong, then don't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the frequency levels, you know, and I've talked about this before, low frequency cold, high frequency cold, you know? So low frequency cold is like the demonic voice. And that's like the demonic presence that's saying like, hey, go do this. Oh yeah, you need to think negative. Yeah, you need to think bad habits and all these other things. And then there's the high frequency, which is saying, no, you need to be a good man because you have daughters. Mm-hmm. You need to go out. You need to work hard. No, you need to get your ass up because you're being lazy right now. Why are you doing that? You have time on your hands right now. Let's go pursue this. Let's go do this. You know, you have time to work out. Oh, I know you're sore. Why are you sore? Oh, because you stayed up too late. Okay, well, that's your fault. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then holding mm-hmm. yourself accountable. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, I don't even know what I'm getting at here. I just know that we all have a purpose here. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we're all together.
In the beginning, Cole, you brought up like, you know, we both know Sean and I also remember him as a uniquely positive person. You know, I know yeah. we got a couple minutes left, but you know, Sean, I remember like there'd be plenty of times where me and you would be miserable in our lives, like just like cutting weight match after match, like not really enjoying anything for, you know, me and Sean went to college together. This is like my homie for many years. And he always like remained positive. And I even remember like sometimes we go to your house or something like that. Mm-hmm. During this time, like, were you religious at all or not really?
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, I mean, I've always felt, you know, the impact of Jesus and God on my life. I just hadn't really dug into it as much as I have recently. But yeah, I think that's, like Colt said, that's where my source is. That's where.
So do you think that's the reason why you are who you are? Like your presence? Because yeah. I don't like, I'm pretty good judge of character.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the way that you are is like a, like, I don't even want to use the word like fake. You know, like some people, they get it and you're like, nah, you're, there's something going on there. This isn't natural.
Yeah.
You know, like who I am, like what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not like a perfect speaker, so to say, or, you know, I'm not perfect in certain areas, but like who I am is what you get. If you don't like it, I don't care.
Yeah. Work in progress, I mean? But like going up.
Right. Yeah. Cause I believe that it, like whoever, if you're trying, I appreciate that more than someone that's perfect with a bad attitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
100%. Yeah. And I totally appreciate that, man. Yeah. And all the glory to God. And I wouldn't be who I am today without him for sure. But
do you think positive? Do you think your thought process has a lot to do with it? Do you think you think like there's no negative? Do you have negative talk in your brain?
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone does.
I'm human too, man. Yeah.
So what do you do? Like what is it that you do? Because your aura is really good.
Yeah, well, I'm saying like the last few years have been a shift for me really, and really giving that all to God. And once you realize that Jesus did it all on the cross, man, like there's nothing else we have to do. He did it. He died for all of our sins. Everyone in this room, everyone on this earth. You know, and once you realize that, it's a weight lifted off your shoulders. And I'm not saying that, you know, now you can do whatever you want, because you technically can, but we should still, if you really believe that with all your heart, then you're going to live out God's word. You're going to live what Jesus told us to live.
Right? I believe that if you follow the word, the closest that you could be mm-hmm. to the most godlike individual possible, because the goal is to be as like him as possible.
Yeah.
The closer you are to that, the less pain you're going to feel.
Yep.
The less worry you're going to feel. The less heartache you're going to feel, because it's all a part of his plan.
Yep,
and if you know that it's on his plan, you just focus on that. You don't have to focus on, well, what am I doing wrong? Well, why should I be worrying that I have no financial gain right now? I'm struggling here. Mm-hmm. Can't think like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I, to answer your question, Eric, yeah, I've always had that impact in my life. I think more of the wrestling days too. Like I had such a respect for you, I will say. So for those of you who don't know, me and Eric were workout partners. So for like 3 months straight, we're basically boyfriend and boyfriend, like,
like cutting weight together. That, like, but yeah, dude, we were
guys were doing squats together on each other's
we're literally
backs.
Like, yeah, like basically as close as two guys can be, you know, with like every day dealing with that pain and suffering. And I had my wrestling coach in high school was a Marine. And so that's where I learned so much of just becoming a man, you know, was really from wrestling. And so instantly meeting you and knowing that you're a Marine, like I had a level of respect for you. So I'm like, hey, I'm next to a Marine. I got to do this. I got to get this done.
So during this time, I'm a Marine and I'm in college.
Dang.
You know, and we're doing this college sport. And there was another Marine in Santa Ana too. He was a sniper. Like he's a beast too. Forget his name, but it just made sense to keep pushing hard. And Sean was like one of the ones I was like, he already came with that mindset, you know? And man, dude, you were 33s, I think, our first year.
Yeah.
And I was 25.
Yeah. We were the two lightest guys on the team.
Oh,
in the lineup. Yeah. So we were cutting a lot of weight. And I just want to speak really quick, because you've brought up on your podcast a lot of things about vulnerability. And like I told you earlier, Colt, like you're a very clean cut guy. You're in great shape. You got a successful business. You know, to really hear the vulnerable sides, like, I feel like helps everybody. It's like helps people to see, like, everyone has these issues. Everyone goes through these struggles in life. You know what I mean? As opposed to the polished things that we see on social media and everything. But I don't know why, Eric, and I'm sorry if I'm kind of outing you here, but we're on a run and we're redlining at this point, right? We've cut so much weight. We're probably the day before the weigh-in. We have our sweats on. I think Eric took his off because he was so dying. You know, I was too. And I remember just saying like, you know, Eric, come on, you know, let's go. Like, cause he kind of stopped to walk for a second. He's like, honestly, Sean, like I'm kind of on the verge right now. Like, I think you said something like you were about to like pass out. Like that's how much we had cut. And in my head, I don't know why that stuck with me. And I'm like, wow, he's human too. You know what I mean? Cause I saw you as such a like indestructible human being. You know what I mean? And that actually helped me like to see the human side and
to see me suffering. Not wanting to quit. You leveled
it is
up.
In a weird way. Like it really did help me. And like I've told you, Cole, listening to your podcast, anyone who's listening now, if this is your first podcast you listen to, go listen to other ones, because these are amazing and they're just helpful in so many different ways, so many different aspects of your life. So thank you for doing this, Cole.
Oh, thanks, brother. And in closing, what was your favorite podcast? I'm just curious if you had one like that you really liked.
Yeah. Well, I already know Mike Fletes.
Yeah.
And he's just such a great guy, man. And he's, I like you say, the example of a godly man, family man, and he's successful in real estate. You know, I'm kind of similar to him in that sense and all those senses. And yeah, I think he's just a great role model in general, someone to look up to for sure.
I think that's the main topic of the podcast is just self-help, right? And then bringing people that I admire and that I envision myself being like, right? Like I'm a different individual and I'm going to create the best version of myself, but I need people around me, other men around me that emulate, that I want to emulate, right? Like almost like be like, right?
Yes, sir.
And I think that's important for us as men, you know, and as ladies. Ladies, you need to find a woman that you want to emulate, right? And I'll never, ever, ever look up to somebody that I don't want to be like, ever. And I won't take instruction from somebody that I want to be like, right? Even like in jiu-jitsu, you know? Like I admire this guy and I respect this guy. I can't learn from somebody or listen to somebody that I don't want to be like in the future.
That's a big one. Cause a lot of times there's those people that are the loudest mouths, but probably the ones you shouldn't be listening to. Right. As you can tell, Eric is a pretty reserved guy, calm guy, you know, quiet,
super dangerous.
More quiet guy. And then, yeah, it's like, you should be asking him, you know, okay, what do I do?
Yeah.
So
it's been great, guys. I really admire you, brother. And I look up to you, you know, as a friend, business coach, you know, we take information from each other and whatnot. Family man.
Likewise, man. Likewise.
As far as the Darts Knight here, he's always hot and dangerous. He's always got the show. Guys, if you guys had any questions, feel free to DM us on Instagram at 45 on the hour.
Sean, what's your social medias?
Instagram is Sean Jones Real Estate. And then you can look up Sean Jones Real Estate Team on Facebook or SeanJonesTeam.com is my website.
Awesome. Follow this man. And what about you, Darce?
You can find my personal Instagram is Darce Knight. The Academy is the Los Angeles Jiu-Jitsu Club. And then, you know, just we're right here. If you need to buy a house, talk to Sean Jones. 20% off.
Given the discounts. Uh-huh.
Like attention to detail has been popping with like a lot of social media too. You got the Service Master coming. You got a bunch of stuff you're working on.
Yeah, working on a few things. Just been taking some time, Service Master, but we're almost there.
Dude, you got
like wet-out video launching hopefully soon here.
You got the most on your plate out of all of us.
Yes, sir, I do. But you know what? I always learn to balance it. Family, God, business, personal life. You got to learn to balance it, right, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Absolutely. If you guys want to reach out to any of us, reach out to us. We're here to help. We're always here for you guys first, number one. Okay. And until next time, get up, get after it, and get some.